Hi, everyone. This is John Frank from PL Buyer. I'm at PLMA's annual meeting and leadership conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. I've just heard some interesting morning speakers, and I have one of them with me here for you to hear as well. I'm sitting with Ann Zabowski. She's Director of Retail Insights for Kantar Retail, and she's been talking about the shape of the new retailer and what's ahead for private label in terms of the retail environment. And we're going to talk to her a bit about that here as well. I'll put this in position for recording now. Hi, Ann. Welcome to our little corner of the meeting.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a bit about what the new retailer is going to look like. What is the new retailer?
The concept of new retailers is really just about the fact that the four walls of the store and the store is not the only point of contact with the customer anymore. And really 2009, coming out of the recession of 2008, was really the pivotal point where online became a channel in its own right versus just something that people kind of tested with on the side and experimented with. Mm-hmm. And online has seen a tremendous amount of growth post-recession and is really starting to change the nature of purchasing dynamics across the world. So as we take a look at what the new retailers are, new retailers that will be successful are finding ways to blend how the shopper wants to behave online and connect with them online or on their phone or however they're digitally connected, and then also connect differently with the store's experience and the blending of the physical and the virtual worlds.
And one of the speakers made the point that retailing hasn't changed a lot, food retailing hasn't changed a lot since the 1960s, if not further back than that. But you're saying it's going to change very dramatically, and it's already changing dramatically.
Yeah, it's already changing dramatically, and you know, once the sort of dot-com boom and then bust happened, people assumed that because of the big spectacular web van failures and others that people would just never purchase online. But we're starting to see certainly areas of the world that are in this postmodern marketplace, like the UK and a lot of Europe, where people have do a lot of their shopping online, are finding new ways to balance, and retailers are actually responding with new formats in order to better meet those needs. So a couple of retailers like Auchan Drive, Metro's Rail Drive also just launched a similar concept, which is kind of in between the physical and virtual worlds, where you order online and then you go to a neighborhood location that's near your house, kind of pay, and then within a couple minutes you've got all your groceries loaded into your car. So it's an in between the I go to a store to pick it out myself versus I do everything online and get it delivered to the store. And so I think as we're starting to see an acceleration of a number of categories online and people becoming comfortable purchasing adjacent categories online, that food retailing is really going to take off over the next year or two, especially as two of the biggest players in retailing, Walmart and Amazon, are trying to figure it out.
Because Amazon, many people worry about Amazon as a competitor to traditional food retailers. Do you see that coming? That's already happening?
I see it coming. One of the most successful programs that they've launched is Amazon Subscribe and Save, which has been around since 2007, but has really started to accelerate in terms of new people taking advantage of it through 2010. And so what Amazon Subscribe and Save started in grocery, so it's grocery products. The pack sizes were more case-like, so for some people that was a little bit prohibitive because they didn't want to buy an entire case of things to purchase online. But as people start to see the benefits of purchasing things online for a lot of their replenishment purchases, automating those lists so they don't even have to kind of think about it, that it's automated, and then just going to the store for really the fill-in items and sort of the blending of convenience, no matter how the shopper defines it that day or that week, whether it's online or in-store, that they can get what they want when they want it.
Do you think, you mentioned the buying diapers and baby care products, those are basically commodities you know you're going to need. Is that going to change the center store? You were talking about center store as well and the problems retailers have had with center store. Do you see those center store more commodity-like items moving to the online world and in effect making it easier to have the smaller format stores you also were talking about, where there won't be as much space devoted to those in a store?
Yeah, I think as we start to see shoppers segmenting their lists in terms of what they want to purchase online and what's a replenishment purchase versus some of the more impulse type items, if you will, as they start segmenting those lists, that people are going to look for different things in the store, and the store needs to figure out what that environment is. So a lot of the replenishment and nature type purchases, that a lot of those happen to sit in the center store will start to move online. And so if people aren't coming in to purchase those things, how does that change the assortment in the store and how we think about center store? I think for some of the category specialists, at least in terms of diapers and wipes and things like that, that entire format is centered around diapers being the key trip trigger. Mm-hmm. And so if a lot of the, I think the challenge for bricks and mortar retailers is if that key trip trigger item goes online, what is the new trip driver to the store, and trying to understand those purchasing behaviors to then figure out what the store should deliver and what the assortment looks like and how to engage the consumer when they're in the four walls of the store.
And can private label become the trip trigger trying to tie private label into this whole discussion of the changing retail scene?
I think private label certainly plays an important role, and there's a number of retailers like Aldi, Save-A-Lot, a number of other retailers that are really growing tremendously in this environment that are primarily private label in nature. You're also seeing a lot of leading retailers like Costco with Kirkland Signature, Target with Archer Farms and the relaunch of Up and Up, Walmart even trying to build stronger private label through the relaunch of Great Value, that as retailers really go after more holistic and stronger private label from a branding perspective, not just necessarily from a margin play that they want to drive margin and really taking a look at the category or the item level, but they think more holistically about private label from a supporting the overall retailer brand architecture, that there's a tremendous role that private label can play.
And will that mean more promotion money put into private label and more brand building, something we were talking about earlier?
Potentially, it could be more money kind of put into that. It's the retailer driving their brand, and so, you know, like every supplier to retailer conversation, there's a portion of money that the retailers put in and a portion that manufacturers put in, and that'll be sort of no different as people build their programs, figuring out what proportion comes from retailers versus suppliers.
Okay, well, that'll be something I'm sure our readers will be wondering about, and we'll be writing a lot more about as we go on. Thank you very much for sitting down with us today. This has been great. We're at the PLMA annual meeting. I've been talking with Ann Zabowski from Kantor Retail, and thanks very much. It's great
talking
to you. Thank you.